all across this room, just lift your hands and sing this.
Always be.
Christ child in the manger, holy, holy, holy. We cannot downplay the manger. We cannot downplay. Christ child, the infant. Because if not for God becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, we would be hopeless, we would be without salvation, we would be without understanding the fullness of God's love, we would be without hope and without peace. We would be without the Holy One of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made apart from the Word that was made, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of God the Father. All of the glory of God was seen in that baby. See, we can't downplay the manger because it's the incarnation of Jesus. It's God taking on flesh. It's the incarnation of God that is what is our hope. We can't downplay it. We can't overlook it. We can't think that, well, it's nice and Christmas is good, but it's really all about the cross. There'd be no cross, and the cross would be meaningless if the cross didn't begin in the manger. Without the incarnation, the cross doesn't even matter. If it was just a man dying, many men died, scores and hundreds of thousands were put to death by the Romans. If it was just a man dying on a cross, that would have nothing for us. But it was the man Christ Jesus, God in the flesh, who was holy forever, who took on our flesh and blood and became one of us so that we could know Him and have access. He reconciled us to God through the body of Jesus. Through His body. The incarnation, the birth of Jesus, is the love of God on display. We say, well, the cross is the love of God on display. Yeah, they're not in conflict with one another. They're not in battle with one another. We don't pit them against one another. Why? Because it's in the purity and the innocence of the baby that we understand the goodness of God, that He wants to know us in the most real, intimate way. And that is by taking on flesh, becoming one of us, fully God, fully human. The incarnation matters. The manger Think about this for a second. The angels didn't appear when Jesus was on the cross and announced good news. The angels appeared when the baby was in the manger and announced good news. Because it's not just his death, it's his birth, it's his life, it's his death, and it's his resurrection. It is the person of Jesus that is good news of great joy. We need all of it. We need all of it for there to be good news. We need his birth, we need his life, we need his teachings, we need his miracles, we need his power, we need his death to atone for our sin, we need his resurrection to give us life, we need all of it. And so on that night in Bethlehem, the angels appeared and said, for today is born. The king is here now. This is the good news. The Savior of the world is here. This is the good news. He is holy forever. Lord, I thank you for this presence that you have given to us of your Spirit in this house. I thank you for this reminder that you were holy in the manger. You were holy on the cross. You were holy in the resurrection. But Lord, you were holy even when you formed us, when you made us, for without you, nothing was made that's been made. And you're holy on your throne now, and you'll be holy when you return again and receive us as your people, and every eye will see you. Holy, holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you an opportunity to worship the Lord in the giving of your offerings and the paying of your tithes. The ushers are coming now to serve you. You can give in the plate. You can give online at reallifenc.com. You can give in the kiosk downstairs or at the receptacles in the back. Giving is an act of worship, obedience, and faith. Amen? Worship, obedience, and faith. And as we're closing out the year, we want to finish the year strong and in our giving and in our offering and our tithe. So make sure that you are using whatever means are available to you so that you're able to be faithful in your giving. God is faithful to us. Amen? He is faithful. He gave the greatest gift on that Christmas. And we are honored to be able to give back to him as an act of worship, obedience, and faith. Lord, I pray, God, that as we give this morning, that you have blessed the gift and the giver, that you have blessed those who have to give. Lord God, and you have blessed those who don't so that they could become givers. Lord God, I pray that you would meet every need and that you will work mightily in this house. Lord, I thank you for this time together today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give. We are in the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it is the morning, the day that we think and reflect and set our minds and our spirits and our thoughts and our attention to the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus. It has been an amazing, amazing Advent as we've looked at the coming of Jesus. And we've been looking at each week of Advent, faith, hope and love and joy and peace. And this morning we talk about love. It's a love that never gives up. I said it's a love that never gives up. It's a love that conquered sin and death. It's a love that surrounds us daily and fills us eternally. It is the perfect love of God. It is God's love embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a couple questions this morning. How do you perceive God's love for you? How do you perceive God's love for you? Do you ever feel like you have to earn it? Do you ever feel like you don't measure up to being worthy of His love? Do you ever wonder if God's love is even for you? Do you ever just wonder, why would God even love me? We're gonna take a deep dive into the love of God this morning as we talk about this love that caused God to enter our world in the person of Jesus Christ on that first Christmas. It's a love that was present from the creation of the world, and it is a love that is enough for each and every one of us, and it is meant to overflow in our lives, out of our lives, into others. It's a love that was announced to the shepherds. When we think about this love, we think about it in two ways. It's vertical. It's the love that we have for God and that God has for us. And it's horizontal. It's the love that we have for our neighbor and those around us. It's the love that we have for God that affects the love that we have for others. Because when we truly experience the love of God, it transforms us. Paul tells us that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It is His love that shows us that He wants us to be in relationship with Him. We've been looking this Advent season at scenes from The Chosen, their Christmas special. We're going to watch one this morning, a scene. And it's after the angels have visited the shepherds in the field, and they are heading to see the baby, to see Mary and Joseph and this newborn baby that is wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. They're going to go rush to Bethlehem, and then they're going to rush off because they have a task to do because of God's great love. Watch this scene.
He must tell someone.
He must tell everyone.
He must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
We've waited for this for so long. So long.
He's on.
Oh, it's okay. Will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. I must go. Be People must know. People must know.
People must know.
Right? The little baby. Could you imagine, baby's a few hours old, you hand it to some shepherds you've never met? You're not doing that. It's like, you did not sanitize when you came in the stall. Right? You did not sanitize. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing him, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to him. Listen, this baby was the Savior of the world. It was good news to all people. Good news to all people. That image of the shepherds taking the baby in their hands, in their arms, right in after the its birth is a sign and then a picture that this baby was born for the world. It was born so the world could have and hold and know and experience God, his love fully. In many ways, these shepherds are the first evangelists of the Bible. Before the 12 apostles and disciples, and there was this group of shepherds who, after they saw Jesus, they had to go out and tell everyone that they met. They had to go tell it on the mountain that Christ the Savior was born. Everybody could know the one that we've been waiting for is here. Love has come. Love has come. We often talk about Christmas as the time when love came down. We say that God's love entered the world as a baby. That is all true. But we would be mistaken if we didn't take a bigger view, a view back to very creation of the world. The history of our world, the story of the Bible, is a love story from the first day of creation. It is the story of God creating us so that we could be in relationship with him. It was the story that even when we rebelled against God, God was working to bring redemption and reconciliation in the person of Jesus, that through the seed of the woman, the one would come to crush the serpent's head. It's the story of God's love for us. Love, yes, it came crashing into the stable in Bethlehem. Jesus' birth was the culmination of this story of love. And today, his love for us this Advent season is not something that he has just decided to do. It's something he has always done. Psalm 139 tells us that before we were formed in the womb, he knew us and loved us. He had purpose for us. Even before you were born, he had purpose and plans for you. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul tells us in verse 4 that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in his beloved one. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. There is no way to fully experience the goodness and the mercy and the love of God apart from Christ Jesus. He lavished it on us. He has freely given us this love, this holiness and blamelessness through Jesus. God's love doesn't depend on us. It's not something we have to earn or perform or maintain. God loves us. You cannot even earn it. That's the beauty of his love. Is he loves us just like we are, and he loves us so much he doesn't want to leave us that way. It's his nature. It's his character. His love for us was at the beginning of time. His love will continue throughout eternity. He loves us. 1 John 4 says, we know, we can believe that the love that God has for us, that God is love. We'll look more at that passage in a few moments. But this love of God is, it's almost too amazing to even believe. But I want to encourage you this morning, simply accept that God's love for you exists, and he has always loved you. Even if others have let you down, even if others have failed you, even if others have abandoned you, even if others have turned their back on you, even if others have made you feel unworthy and unlovable, God loves you and will love you and has always loved you, and his love is what's kept you and is what's brought you into the house this morning. God loves you. He loves you. His love is enough. Let me just ask you this. Do you ever have a hard time loving God? Do you ever have a hard time believing that or accepting his love for you? Do you ever doubt that his love is enough to cover all the pain or the hurt or the selfishness or the evil in our world, or that his love is enough and big enough and good enough and he loves you enough to heal the pain and the hurt even in your own heart? Here's what I think. I think if we're honest, we would answer yes. There are times that we struggle and say, can God really love me? Could he really? I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. But he loves me. Maybe for some of us in this room, it's a struggle to live in the reality of God's love for us, because it is so different from our ability to love. Thank you. It's different from our broken love. I want to remind you this morning that even though everyone else may let you down, even though others may abandon you, they may fail you, they may turn their back on you, I've got good news for you. It's the best news. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. Now look at your neighbor saying, God loves me too. God loves you. He loves you. See, that's the hope. That's the hope. And it's not because of anything you've done that he loves you. It's not anything you have to do that causes him to love you. It's not a temporary love, and he's gonna love you today, but tomorrow, if you don't do it just right, he's going to stop loving you. It's not like a father or a mother or a spouse or an ex or a friend or an enemy. It's not like someone who let you down or hurt you or twisted the concept of love and brings pain and heartache. It's not like them. It's a real love, a genuine love. John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him." Listen, God loves you perfectly, purely, wholly, lavishly. It is abundant. It overflows. It is because it's his nature. Listen, you don't have to earn points to muster up more love from God. He pours out his love on us no matter how unlovable or unworthy we may feel that we are. He pours it out unendingly because it's who he is. God is love. It's his nature. It's his character. He just pours it out. Out of him comes love for you. Love. Maybe this morning you find yourself in a season of what would be a cold winter. Long, dark, cold nights where you wonder if you'll ever make it to the love of God. But I want to tell you, the fact that you're here today is that God's love is bringing you towards himself. His love is more than you can fully understand. It's Ephesians, Paul tells us in verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you can just You can't be filled with the fullness of God until you get a grasp of his love for you. That's how you'll truly begin to walk in the fullness of God. It's beyond knowledge. It's beyond knowledge. It's beyond just something you think about. It is something you experience. It is something that you hold on to. It's something that you know in your spirit, because you have embraced the love of God. He has found you where you are, and he has lifted you up, and he has rescued you, and he has pulled you out of the pit and out of the miry clay, and he set your feet on a rock. Why? Because he loves you. It's deep and wide and long and high. It doesn't change, even if our feelings do. Even if we feel distant from God's love, he is there beside us. We know in the story that the people of Israel had waited hundreds and hundreds of years for the promise to be fulfilled. The promise that came to Micah, and that came to Isaiah, that came to the prophets. 400 or so years they waited. I'm sure they grew tired of weary and questioned and wondered, is God's love going to come through? Is he going to fail us? But at just the right time, God's love was seen in the baby. Jesus was God's love with skin on. Nothing can shake that love. Nothing can tear us away from that love. Nothing can tear us away from that love. Paul tells us in Romans, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from what? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, if you want to fully know the love of God, you have to come to know Jesus. You have to come to know Jesus. In 1 Peter 1:22, it tells us, reading from the Living Bible translation, it says, "Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts." See, is this love that we experience from God that allows us to love one another. It's this love that we experience from God that allows us to walk through every trial and every hard season and every difficult night, knowing that Jesus Christ will never let us go. This morning, we're going to light the Advent candle for love, and the headsmiths are coming to light that and share their scripture and testimony with us this morning. I know you're going to be encouraged and strengthened as they share the love of God that has been shown in their hearts.
Anticipation of Christ's coming, his first coming for Christmas, and his long-awaited second coming. Let's read some love scriptures from International Children's Bible. You could expect any less. Psalms 89:1-5 and John 3:16. I will always sing about the Lord's love. I will tell you of his loyalty from now on. I will say your love continues forever. Your loyalty goes on and on like the sky. You said I made an agreement with the man of my choice, and I made a promise to my servant David. I told him I will make your family continue forever. Your kingdom will continue from now on, Selah. Lord, the heavens praise you for your miracles and for your loyalty in the meeting of your holy ones. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. God gave his son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life.
I've often made the statement many times, and you've probably all heard me, that as long as Patsy Mills is on this earth, I got somebody that's going to love me no matter what. I've often made the statement that Brother Lynn loves me so much, he has to. He's been married to me for 42 years. But you know, I can fool Patsy, and I can fool Brother Lynn. But there are times when Sister Janine don't even like herself, much less love herself. And that's the times when I have to remind myself, and that's the times when God's love is so precious, because even when I'm unlovable, and even though he knows every little thing about me, good, bad, horrible, no matter what, he still loves me, no matter what. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the whole meaning of Christmas can be explained in one little word, love. You sent your gift of pure love to us that first Christmas. Love descended from heaven to be born of a virgin. Love lay in the scratchy hay of a manger in a meager barn in Bethlehem. All of your love, God, was robed in the delicate skin of a baby and wrapped in swaddling clothes. This final week of Advent, help us to reflect on the magnitude of love that was revealed in Jesus. Your word became flesh, and you made your dwelling among us when Jesus was born. You set aside all of the glory and splendor of heaven and chose the most humble way to enter into your kingdom. You came as an innocent baby whose purpose was to walk this earth in complete love and then sacrificially give his life as an atonement for the sins of his children. Emmanuel, God with us, love in the form of a man, the greatest Christmas gift in history, came wrapped in the flesh of a baby, Jesus, and laid in the rough wood of a manger. Our perfect gift would later be rewrapped in the scars of our sin and nailed to the rugged wood of a cross on Calvary. All hearts and minds with the significance of that truth. Because of that love, Father, this final week of Advent, fill our hearts and minds with the significance of all that truth. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even to send Jesus.
Amen. 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 Don't we? Thank you so much for sharing, reminding us of God's love. That even when we don't feel lovable, and even when we don't love ourselves, we have a God who loves us. We have a God who is faithful. We have a God who doesn't turn his back on us. I want to read a scripture as the band comes. From 1 John chapter 4. It says this: Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this: not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe that God has love for us. God is love. The one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. So you don't have to be afraid of punishment, of the day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. But you don't have to be afraid of that day. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. By allowing the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ to come and to make his home in you by his Spirit. That's what John told us. He said, this is how we know we remain in him and he is in us. He's given us his Spirit, and we love, and he loves, and we confess Jesus. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of judgment, and you don't have to be afraid of whatever may come your way in this life, because nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to fear future punishment, and you don't have to fear the trials of life in this earth. Doesn't mean you won't have them, but it means that the love of God will keep you. The great love of God will keep you. What did we learn from this real quick? From John? We learned that God is love, and that he sent his Son to atone for our sin, to make atonement for our sin, to cover our sin, to defeat hell, death, and the grave, to defeat the great serpent, to conquer sin. We learn that we can know and we can rely on God's love. It is enough for you today, it's enough for you tomorrow, and it is enough for you for eternity. And we learn that we love God because God first loved us. God first loved us. See, when we couldn't come to God, God came to us. When we couldn't reach love, love came to us. When we could not find salvation and hope, salvation and hope came to us. See, we love God because God first loved us. We respond to His love. We respond to His love. His love is always first. And we are given opportunity to respond through the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we do every week, we're given a chance to respond to the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're given a chance to come near to God because God came near to us. Through the act of communion, we're invited to come to Christ Jesus. We're invited to come and to experience, to taste and to see, to meet with God in the bread and in the cup. That Jesus comes to us. That the Spirit brings Jesus to us through the cup, through the bread. The love of God is held in our hands. Would you stand? Two tables in the front, a table in the back. If you need to respond to God's love this morning, if you long to respond to God's love, I invite you to the tables to receive the elements of communion. You what we're doing. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we do this, we are remembering his death and we are proclaiming his return one day. Paul also tells us that this is something we do as Christians. So he tells us to examine ourselves. And if there's any sin or unrighteousness in us, that we're to repent of that. That this is an act of faith. It's an invitation to Jesus. And so, we don't receive the bread and the wine. We don't receive it just because it's offered. We receive as a response to the invitation to come to Jesus. So if you're not placing your faith in Jesus, then I would humbly submit to you that this meal isn't for you. But if you want to put your faith in Jesus, this meal is for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for love revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that hasn't put their faith in Jesus Christ, right now is their opportunity to simply say, confess with their mouth, right where they're at, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I receive you in my life. It's that simple. It's that simple. If you confess Christ as your Savior, I invite you now to take the bread. When Jesus led this meal with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take and eat." He took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that's poured out for the remission of your sin. Drink all of it." If you desire prayer this morning, if you desire prayer for anything, I want you to know right now is your time to come. We will pray with you. We'll believe God with you. As Pastor Zach leads us through this chorus, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Don't hold back. I know that there are some in this house this morning that have specifically told me they want prayer today.
Thank you. Thank you.
allow these to continue to pray this morning. We'll allow these to continue to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Don't forget our candlelight service tonight at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great time of worship and the Word, and you don't want to miss that. Thank you guys for being here this morning, and let's be dismissed. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.